Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Noise Radio.
Got front and back, and side to side. Got front and back, and side to side. Got front and back, and side to side.
Never let ho-ass niggas ride.
Got front and back, and side to side. Got front and back, and side to side. Got front and back, and side to side.
Never let ho-ass niggas ride.
I got a 64 Chevy in my yard, a white drop top, pearl paint job is hard. White plush inside, something rolled is fresh. Triple gold, double A, Satan, just a bit. I got them 16 switches like Drake. Cause where I'm from, nigga, that's what everybody play. BTK once on my motherfucking plate. Cause real ass niggas don't never come faint. I'm about to hit Gupway, just past Troy. I'm dipping by myself, I'm about to call up my boys. I pass up the car, I see some bitches looking fine. I hit the corner one more time to see the booty from behind. Got to the corner, hit the switch and made it jump. I got these JVCs and the kicker, so it bump. I know you hoe ass niggas wanna ride, bitch. I got the front, back, and side to side, daddy.
Front, back, and side to side. With that honey gloss and tighter than the sheep's dick. Hitting the switches, make the ass jump. See it tall, solid gold, chewy chrome jacks up the ass wall. Smoke be that Jacktown Mac in a caddy, six fucking 15. Hitting harder than a nigga's dad. And all you hoes getting dick in your back. Going smack from a country ass gold teeth. Chicken eating Mac, cause I'm a player to get sweet and gushy. I take your bitch to my crib and throw a party on that pussy. And watch the niggas jock a jig. Big cars, big money, big nuts, shit, it's my dick. With the smooth G ride, getting scandalous. Pussy, I dismantle it, these hoes can't handle it. Fine ass, big booty bitches in my ride. Cause the smokes that got that front, that back, and side to side, nigga.
Not front to back, side to side. Not front to back.
Heat to the R to that.
GRX is on the line, and we were going to look at some important ASCAP updates. As I indicated on my earlier show, the Marty Smith Show, I got invited to their annual meeting, not because I'm Marty Smith, but because I am a member named Marty Smith. So that's a little different, right?
Right, just a little bit.
Right, just a little different. So, being a member, and let's, you know what ASCAP is, right?
Yep.
It's American Society of Composers, Arrangers, and Producers. So, generally, there's two ways for you to get paid if you put out a rec. ASCAP or BMI, and then you have these other entities, but these are the old. And at the end of the day, what they've been able to do is talk about and track how artists are still not getting paid. And moving forward, we've got this live YouTube channel now. You may be moving forward getting liver, okay, and getting unpaider. And you feel me?
Right.
At the same time.
But you get your product out.
Getting your product out, but you still haven't resolved. I think this 85 cent per is like a 0.85. 85% is what YouTube pays out. So you're looking at a 15% fee for every $100. they take $15 out, right?
Right.
That's a 15% then.
Yep.
That don't sound as good as 85%. Oh, I'm making my paper at 85. Oh, I'm getting taxed at 15%. You see the difference?
Yes. Well, I mean, for those that are in it, understand it. And for those that don't, or maybe listen to the show, now they can get an idea of what it takes to get paid while doing this music thing. You know, I think what happened was when we came into the social media, and you got a lot more artists being able to put their music out there and get it out there really quick, they didn't take in consideration on how to get paid, because now artists mainly only getting paid when they go out on tour.
But I think what has also happened is we've moved so quickly into the social media. You know, even today, you got people trying to post to social media and the lady died on the bridge. You see, you know what I'm saying? Trying to take a selfie. It's like we've gotten so quickly, even as artists, producers, composers, and arrangers, and that could mean a whole host of folk we never even considered back in the day. Okay.
Right, it did. I mean, it opened the doors up for us, no doubt. But again, when it opened the doors, it let a lot of water under the bridge, though, so to speak, because these people are not getting paid, and they don't know how to get paid. Half of them probably are not even in the association at this point. You know what I'm saying? They're still trying to figure it out. And I think it's important that they understand that they need to be in it to get paid.
Well, let me read this. I'm on my ASCAP site, and I get the update. Okay, with streaming explosion, where does the U.S. music business go from here? And this is by Robert Levine and Dan Rye. Streaming driving growth that the U.S. music business has seen in the last two decades, can it continue? With sales revenue up 14.4% to $77.7 billion in 2016, the U.S. recorded music business finally seems to have turned a corner after more than a decade and a half of decline. I would agree with that part. The question now is whether the nascent recovery will continue and whether an industry dominated by streaming can eventually return a level close to its 1999 peak of $14.6 billion? Whoa, that's 16 years of down, right?
Yeah.
That, no wonder you ain't getting paid. Okay, YouTube exploiting legal loopholes to pay artists 85% less. On Thursday, the RIAA, Recording Industry Association of America, which I'm also a member, released an overview of the music industry's 2016 performance. Music streaming outperformed both physical sales and digital downloads. Combined, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, and their competitors accounted for 51.4% of all U.S. revenue. That's huge. Digital downloads accounted for 24.1%. That's actually, based on the percentage of humans, even huger. Physical sales is only 21.8%. In the retail market, revenues grew 11.4% to $7.7 billion, which got us back to that earlier number where we ask where the music industry goes from here. So at the end of the day, the shift in where you're buying your music, how you're buying your music, and if you're moving toward downloads as opposed to getting up off your butt and going down to the record store or wherever they sell it now, Target, Sam's Club, record stores, wherever they sell it physically, right?
Right.
As opposed to Willie, Raul, and Rakita at the bootleg.
Well, again, you're dealing with social media, which is everybody's on. It's easier for them to download or downstream the music and pay one of these sites to get the music versus getting up to go get the music.
Here's the problem. If you take your butt, GRX, and go buy my album at your local store up the road, I will get my fair share, my share of the revenue based on what is the current law, okay? But if you download it, okay, if you click on it and download it, I'm probably not going to get nowhere near my fair share from Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, or their competitors. That's why I'm competing against myself by being on every one of them.
What you're dealing with, too, is again, if you're not Tay-Tay, Taylor Swift in them, it's going to hurt your pocket, but regardless, at the end of the bottom line.
Don't you say nothing bad about Tay-Tay. Don't you start
Well, you know, we like Tay-Tay. We like the way she gangstered them up, you know, and took her music and did what she wanted to do with her music.
Don't you go there.
Yeah, she's a gangster.
Yeah. I mean, as skinny and beautiful as she is and as coy as she is, she's all about the gangstering, the gangsters that go gangster her first. She figured
right. That
part out.
Yeah, she went to go to, she did the stick up to them before they stuck her up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, that's what, as an artist, that's what you kind of got to deal with now. You got to kind of deal with, well, do I do it the conventional way, or do I go in here and go to a streaming site to get my music out there to the public? Because what's happening with a lot of young artists is that they're just streaming their music, trying to get you hooked, and then to the record deal.
Well, I think the old-fashioned record deal is a thing of the past unless you are doing such phenomenal streaming that we're going to take another second look at Chance the Rapper now, and he got his choice of deals. Okay?
Right, again, that's what I'm saying. Now you got to play the Chance the Rapper shot, and that's a big chance in itself because, again, your music's out there. And you may not be pushing it to the right crowd or the people that needs to be pushed to.
Now let's look at the converse. The artist just the year before, Lamar Kendrick, which went the traditional route, record deal, working with Dre, doing it that old school way, that formula, and it worked out beautifully, and I'm no worse for the wear. So you have two examples of how to get in and stay in equally or problematic, because I think Chance the Rapper is an anomaly as opposed to a common way in which things are done. If you get on Twitter, get on these social sites, you will see everybody is doing some type of production. Everybody, I got tracks, I got two albums worth of tracks I still ain't produced or haven't released that are produced. Okay? Now that I need to get them in order and have them ready with me when I go to my ASCAP convention. While I'm bullshitting, I need to follow my own damn advice, huh?
Right.
But again, I'm also of the nature that I would rather be industry rooted as well or solely if I don't have all my digital social media roots together, because social media roots can also be a false flag. Meaning you hot today, but you don't have that back behind you, and you don't have that brain like Chance the Rapper or his style. His style is beautiful. The style he's doing is great. So, you know, it's production in its essence. It's like, man, let me get everybody in the studio and let's just do something fast.
Right.
everybody happy.
Again, what we're dealing with is how and by which means do you want to move your music. That's what we're dealing with. Like for us, you know, being rooted into the albums or the industry that way, we understand how the albums get moved. But right now when you're doing it digitally, you are at the whim of the customer. Because like you said, today you hot, tomorrow you not.
Bro, if you look at this,
and you could have 100 good tracks, but that one bad track that you put out may ended it all for you. So you got to be careful with it.
But there are so many rappers that came out in the last 10 years. I'm not going to name names because I don't want nobody mad at me. that you don't hear from, and they went had hits, went platinum, did everything else, and probably went to jail, some of them.
Well, you know, that's going back to the history of the one-hit wonder. You know what I'm saying? You come out with the one hit, it's great, it's the party mover, everybody's playing it everywhere, but then after that, what happens? Then you got a follow-up.
A record company will always make more money on a one-hit. If my label is only producing one-hit wonders, I'm the happiest guy in the room. Because after GRX that gave me his Hamilton bit, I don't have to see your ass again. And I keep making my money, and you keep getting your little subsidies off your work. And we move on to another hit, hopefully. But if you don't produce, we still got that. Not, you know, my time is free. You have to spend a lot of time traditionally developing artists. We don't do A&R like we used to, but we still have to set aside a lot of personnel, time, funds to make sure somebody is studio ready, studio accessible, and can work at a professional level, even in a ghetto manner. You feel me?
Right, but then we got to figure out what is professional at this point with everybody just downloading and streaming. You know, before, a professional meant you went to a studio, you had producers, you had everybody, all your ducks lined up. Now, not so much.
Well, I think the only shift, and this may be part of the edge of hip-hop creating this shift, or the edge of pop music and also creating this shift. But let's get into, what was her name? This is crazy. So call me later. You know what I'm saying? That one hit wonder. And then she did something else. Carly Rae Jeffers or something like that. I knew that was going to be a hit record. I did not know that it could sustain the whole year. She lost the record of the year at the last minute to something else that was even hyphier, and I can't recall it, but I'm going off my brain. But the point is, somebody asked me that question you just said. How do you come out? I said, if you're going to do anything, you come out like her. You have it already packaged. You have it already matched, mixed down, and you can do all this on a phone app. You just need to be very clear-minded when you're moving into it. Have it listened to. You don't have to have it listened to by the biggest radio producers, but if you know a few, that would be good. If you know a few musicians, that would be good. Work on it. Go back into it. Clean it up. Take the feedback. Push it out. Package it. All of it. And it probably costs you much, much less if you do it logistically, like I'm saying, and put that energy into it. Which means you may have to do something different. Those may not be Hennessy weed sessions. They may not be the Hoochie Mama sessions. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever it is you're doing extra. There may be the sessions where you don't need to bring your girls or your homeboy to the session, or your children. You need to be focused, treat it like a real job, and bust it out. And then this is where she set a level. Chance the Rapper took the level up. See what I'm saying? To the point where now Lamar Kendrick, who could be accused of biting that streety urban style just for a major studio, although it was Dre, but it's still major studio quality, and that streetiness probably is the mark in which you have to meet to get to his level of critical acclaim. So all the bars got raised because all the production is so easy to do, and the tools, you know, we used to talk so much about, is it on Pro Tools? Who gives a damn if it sounds right? You know, we done moved away from that, thank God, okay? Is it on Beta or Mac? We moved away from that to the point where, how does it sound? Was it crafted, put together, what, right? And then where can I find it? This can be an issue too, because where can I find it plays into the largest social issue. Well, if everybody's looking up your shit on YouTube and you hate YouTube, you're going to have issues.
Right.
You would have, well, you have to create as much energy power going against the grain of your YouTube potential or what the market is. That's what the market's doing. It's like moving from CDs to vinyl. It's like,
yeah, it's what the market bears, period.
Yeah, it's what the market bears. So if it becomes a digital-led market, the mindful person and as an artist, an arranger, a composer, or a producer, or an artist, any of these folks, singers, you would be mindful to make sure that you get nothing less from these social accounts, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, all of them, who, you name it, bro, there's a zillion of them, than what you would get from a traditional deal if the same amount of revenue is potentially there. $1 million is not the same if you're looking at an 85% tax as opposed to a 15% tax.
Exactly. Do the math, people.
And ask the difficult questions. Now, I know it seems a little long-winded, but this shit can be long-winded. And
well, I think in this situation, we got to be a little bit long-winded with it to get people to understand just about how they're going to make their money or how they can get their money, either doing it the old school way or this new way of streaming music. And I think that when you get into this streaming music, you got to have enough music to stream. You just can't stream one song and think that's going to carry you into stardom. Even on a one-hit wonder, they had more than one song. They did more than one song's worth of work before that one hit came out.
Yeah, and commensurate with that is that you also not need to create traps in your music, where it's that same, it's the Drake-ness, it's the same. I listened to a second track from Ray Sherman after that Black Beatles track.
Right.
And it was the same beat, bro.
Well, that's the way the market is, though, really, man. Everybody, I mean, because everybody's into the trap music craze right now. You know what I'm saying?
Look. I checked for the first trap. He got me. He hooked me on the first trap. But I can't go back to it again. That's the one lovely thing I love about Rihanna. Each track has its own brilliance. She doesn't just follow a formula track to track, as opposed to maybe a Beyonce follows a formulated track. It's very formula in her track. You feel me?
Well, it's because she got to dance and she got to shake her ass.
Unless it's a remake track. But many artists, you know, if you break down the sequential nature of the beat structure, the sequences of the beats of Dr. Dre over the years, you'll see a formula. You'll see a pattern. Most producers find comfort in a certain type of style. You know, that's why we like Parliament and Funkadelic. It always seems to go a certain hyphy pattern in many cases. I don't want to hear a Parliament slow jam.
Exactly.
I can't even imagine a Funkadelic slow jam. Okay, and the diaper man singing it? Nah, I'm good.
I'm good on that one.
But
let's just go back to the rap era. That's when all the rappers back in the day would come out with the love song, but it didn't kind of fit.
Well,
I mean, from LL on down, everybody at one time came out with the love track.
LL was the first, and then you had that what I call the first hip hop boy band. You know what I'm talking about. It's the MCs. They were singing slow hip hop way before Georgia City. It was out of the East Coast. I can't think of it. And they was before Boyz II Men.
I can't think.
Yeah, but that's that early 80s stuff where you crooning and got the hip-hop under it. But that's different complexions. You know, we're talking about beat styles, but, you know, it's hard. I say this, it's very hard to compare LL Cool J and what Def Jam was doing way back then to today's style. Check these cats out. They came out a couple of years ago. This is Kid Cudi and Asher Roth, Freestyle.
We just here talking shit. Asher, you owe me a rhyme.
I owe you a rhyme.
The last time we talked.
All right, turn it up, man.
Yep. Yo, Cudi, you want to get in on this?
Yeah, it's whatever, man. I think I got something special for you, too.
You want me to introduce you?
Because, you know, Cudi and I, we go all over the place. We cross over. Yeah. We walked in on some foreign talk.
All right.
Let's go. My shit is like this. So when people walk in, it's like, yo, we do this, we do that, we do rock, we do rap, we do jazz, we do funkin' and classical. With a clash, the outcast, back to Johnny Cash, Flash with Black Thorn and a Tribe Called Quest. Less from Promise, Mos Def and Quali, Zeppelin, Onyx, Beck and Chuck D, feeling of Bob Dylan, hints of John Lennon, mixed with a bit of Pimpsy and Bumby. Marley in my heart and parts of Charlie Parker, Mozart, Zard, and all of Sean Carter.
Hey!
York to Tom York, Europe to New York, Morrison of the Doors, a morsel is too short.
Hey!
In short, the list is long and just goes on, y'all. Me and Cudi, we unstoppable.
Yeah,
yeah. I be the freshman next in, picking up the dirt and they be blessed them. When you come arrest them, we'll be out in minutes. I don't give a fuck what Bill Bondsman is spitting. I'ma let y'all niggas know they well wishing. Kid Cudi fall off, never bossy. I'm getting money, bounce all around the world, similar to Bunny Rabbit. You want my dick? Come grab it. I will break star, motherfucker.
All right. See, I actually appreciate that style. Maybe because it's a freestyle, or just because it's them doing it. I don't know. What you think?
Well, you know, I appreciate it because it is a freestyle, and that it's off the cuff of their head, pretty much. And it's not. I don't put it like this. The studio rappers, I appreciate for their work and their diligence in getting their stuff produced and getting it out there, but I also like a good freestyle where it's just off the cuff, where, you know, this dude has been doing his work. Because if you listen to his track, he's not just in rap music or R&B music, he's across the board, and that's a good thing, and you can see it and hear it in his music.
Even as he talks about the Tribe and the jazz influences, he is working it through in his rap style, and that's back to the old school days when we used to DJ and have our partners come over, and they all already, everybody want to get on the mic at the party and all, because you cannot get on the mic and tear up our party. And now we kind of got old fogey, and we wish we could bring that back.
Well, actually, I don't think it's ever really left. I think we just kind of pushed it to the side a little bit, and everything is cyclical, so it may be coming back. You know what I'm saying? So the next time we see something on these streaming, you may just see some old cronies like us sitting on a park bench and getting their rap on.
Well, I already wrote yours. I just need you to commit. I already got you, and when I go next week to the ASCAP Festival, I need to have a fresh picture of you. So, you know... I got plans for you, Playboy. We gonna work this out, huh? I just need to sign this napkin, young Greg Fox.
The flow is the best in the elf and stealth. Metal gear silent.
Move
when I'm running
and
the game can't stop him. Asthma, nigga, that's a Rob and Camel. We're trying to put the game over and we gon' win. They lose.
Got front, back, side to side. And that was UGK. GRX, you can come back. Soon as you sign that napkin.
if it makes dollars, then it makes sense. It's G to the R to the X.
That limousine is pulling up right now. We got a good China Black looking chick with a 40 for you to sign. She pulling up. Look out your window. We out.
Out.